If you didn't hear the news yet, Monica gave birth yesterday to a baby boy. Went really well. I think born at 11:20 last night after, I think, about 12 hours of labor. So not bad for 12 hours. Well, she went in at noon. Oh, okay, yeah. So it was a long day, basically. And so thank God, yeah, baby, everyone's doing well. So please continue to pray for them. Let's turn our Bible to Matthew chapter 21. So yesterday was the day of true worship. Today is the day of the Word. It's the day of the Word. Jesus taught from early morning all the way to late at night. So when the sun went down on Tuesday, this particular day, a couple days before the Sabbath, actually Jesus' teaching ministry was also done. And so it's a pretty significant moment. And he does. He teaches the whole day. And so, to give an overview, he leaves Bethany. He sees the fig tree withered, and he starts teaching his disciples. Then he goes into the temple, and he basically takes over the temple. The authorities challenge him. He sees the widow's mite, the treasury, starts doing teaching, and then he gets into the woes to the Pharisees, as they begin to challenge him on a couple different levels. And then he leaves the city, he's going back to Bethany, and he goes through the Mount of Olives, and then he sits down with the disciples, and he gives the what they call the Olivet Discourse. It's the sermons of the last days, basically. And then shortly after that, Judas will go and start making preparations for the betrayal that he will eventually fully take over after the Passover, if you remember the story. So now he's just kind of inquiring, you know, what it's going to take, and then he finally decides to do it later, and then he stays the night in Bethany. And so there's bits and pieces in all the Gospels. So I'll just give you the passages: Matthew 21 from verse 20 on, Mark 11 from verse 20, Luke 20, and John 12:20. And these are kind of where it'll go. And again, it'll all give you little bits and pieces of everything, and so you can kind of put everything together. But by far, the most exhaustive look of this is in the book of Matthew. So that's where we'll go. So we'll go start at verse 21. So they say, oh, how did the fig tree wither? And 21, and Jesus answered and said to them, truly I say to you, if you have faith, do not doubt, you shall not only do what was done at the fig tree, or to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it shall happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So right from the beginning, remember, they're just walking back. So they leave Bethany, they're walking back towards Jerusalem, they see the same fig tree, and he starts teaching right away. And you could tell that this is going to be a pretty full day of really a lot of revelation that he's going to drop on these guys. And then verse 23, and then when he had come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Jesus answered and said to them, I will ask you one thing too. Which of you tell me? I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John was from men. From what source? From heaven or from men? And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why do you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for they will all hold John to be a prophet. And answering Jesus, they said, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. But what do you think? A man had two sons, came to the first and said, son, go work today in the vineyard. And he answered and said, I will, sir. And he did not go. He came to the second and said the same thing, but he answered and said, I will not. Yet he afterward regretted it and went. Which of the two did the will of the father? They said, the latter. And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, that the tax gatherers and harlots will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in a way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax gatherers and harlots did believe him, and you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterward so as to believe him. Now, obviously, he's talking about the Jewish people. And the oldest son, and this is actually a direct parallel to the prodigal son. You have the older son and you have the younger son. In the same way, you have the two sons. You have the obedient one. You have the seemingly obedient one, kind of like the older son in the prodigal story. And then you have the younger son who seemingly disobedient but ends up becoming very obedient and kind of gets it in that way. And so he tells this story. Then, if they didn't understand that, he tells another parable, and this one slaps them right in the face. Verse 33, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower and rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey. And when the harvest time approached, he sent his slaves to the vine growers to receive his produce. And the vine growers took his slaves and beat one and killed another, stoned a third. Again, he sent another group of slaves larger than the first, and they did the same thing to them. But afterwards, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine growers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine growers? They said to him, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end and will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers who will pay him the proceeds at the proper seasons. Jesus said to him, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? This became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And it is, it's a question. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and be given to a nation producing the fruit of it. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they understood that he was speaking about them. And when they sought to seize him, they feared the multitudes because they held him to be a prophet. Again, a whole nother story to depict the disobedience of the nation of Israel. I should say not the nation of Israel, particularly the religious leaders at that time. And so imagine the last day, he is trying to make everything right before he leaves. He's letting them know. And this becomes some of the harshest things that he actually says to the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, to the religious leaders of that time, that again, from yesterday, that were creating barriers for them to come to the Lord. And so now they finally figure out, oh, this guy's really talking about us. And he's basically, this not begins, but you get little hints or little nods to what is about to come in the birthing of the church, which is Gentile inclusion. And so the original Abrahamic covenant, the mandate of that covenant, is now starting to be displayed, now sprinkled into Jesus' teaching, and then later confirmed when the Spirit hits all flesh, then to be confirmed when Paul and Barnabas at that time are sent out, and Silas and all the missionary journeys that happen. Now, I mean, if you think about this, even the fact that a bunch of Jews start doing missions in the book of Acts is phenomenal to begin with. They didn't do missions for thousands of years. And so for them to even, I mean, you know that was the work of Holy Spirit, you know, that these Jews would actually start going to other nations and sharing the gospel, you know, the promise, the love of God. And then 22, you have the marriage feast. So let's read this again. By the way, we're not going to read this whole thing because we'll be here all morning. But there's a couple of good parables that we can get to. Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. And they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. The rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. And those slaves went out into the street and gathered together all that they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw there a man not dressed in wedding clothes. He said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. And then later on, we get the tribute to Caesar. So let me just unpack this just real briefly for us as we enter in. So it's the parable of the marriage feast. There's a couple of different parables. In near ancient tradition, which is the context here, and they would know, in a wedding, it's what's called a double invitation. In fact, it could be even called a triple invitation in a certain way. So they are invited. There's a certain date. There's a feast that's happening. They say, yes, I'm going to come. Then as the day approaches, on the day, they will again send out, obviously very wealthy man, send out his servants and just preparing them for this feast. You know, I'll make sure this, yes, we're going to be there. Everything is good. And then when the food is ready, they'll invite them to come in. And so by then, so the invitation, they get dressed, everything is ready. And so when the second invitation comes, it's kind of like, you know, the doors are open, welcome in, and then these guys didn't show up. And so some of them, like, we can draw from other passages that can help us understand this. And some said, oh, you know, I just got married. I need to go spend time with my wife. Another said, oh, I bought some land, and I need to go take a look at the land. Another said, well, I bought some oxen, and so I need to go test the oxen. And in all really horrible excuses, because, I mean, one, they've already made a commitment to come. And, who gets married so quickly on that day? Remember, it's the morning, they said, I'm coming, and he says, oh, I've gotten married. In other words, they were basically bold-faced lies in many ways. And so, and then, top of that, why don't you, just think naturally, why don't you just invite your wife? You know, I'm sure there's a plus one, you know, going on here. But, in other words, another way of looking at it for us, they put their relationships before the Lord, so they didn't come. The second one, he says, oh, I bought some land, I need to go take a look at it. Listen, no Jewish person on this planet is going to buy something without looking at it. And I'm not trying to be racist, okay? You know, I'm not. That's not what I mean. I know it just sounded really bad. But I'm talking about in this context here. No person, right, is going to spend that kind of money, buy a piece of land without even looking at it. That's insane. Would you buy a house without looking at it? Without taking a look? You know, I mean, you might. You're a little crazy. But there might be some circumstances in that regard. I mean, I guess it's different now. We have the internet, you know, and so, but, you know, obviously it wasn't here. And so it's a bold-faced lie. But really what it represented was someone that put their possessions over the Lord. And then the other next person says, well, I've got these oxen and I need to test them out. Again, no one buys an oxen. That's very, very risky. This is your whole livelihood. Buys oxen without testing them out first. And so, in other words, the guy was basically saying, I'm sorry, but my work is more important. Relationships, possessions, work. My work is more important, Lord, so I can't come. And so, the king. Now, there's an added element here because, remember, this is getting a little more serious. And he's talking to the leaders there. And he says, and some actually took his servants and killed them, you know, because they were bringing the message. And which, like I said, they killed the prophets. Like he says, he's infuriated. He goes and destroys them. And then he says, open up the doors. Go to the highways and the byways and find anybody. Find anybody, invite them in. Now, in this particular passage, they invite, it says, both evil and good. So they all get invited to this feast, but some didn't come prepared. And some just showed up. And they weren't in their proper wedding clothes. And so it says, kick them out. They're not part. And this is kind of, later he'll talk about the judgment and, you know, he'll separate the sheep and the goats, the wheat and the chaff, and it's kind of leading into the last message, really, and especially you go through the Olivet Discourse, and then you're dealing with the woes of the Pharisees. I don't have enough time to go through all of those, but the basic message is God is coming. He's coming soon. And so be ready. Be ready. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get bogged down in trivial daily affairs. God is coming, and so you ready yourself for His coming in that way. It was the day of teaching. It was the day of His word. He told His listeners, in summary, you have one life. That's it. That's all you're given in this life. And I read this quote years ago and said, you know, life is a coin. You get one coin. You can spend it any way you want to, but you only get one. And so His message today is you have one life. That's it. Some of you have all kinds of gifts and abilities. Some have more, some have less. That's where the parable of talents is also seeped into this teaching on the last day. But basically, don't squander the one and only gift that He's given you, which is life. Do something noble with it. Do something great with this gift of your life. And it's amazing when you put that in context to Jesus' life is about to be over. And so He's speaking this on the shadow of death that's coming upon Him. Now, not only do you have one life, He also talks about this day, that there is a day of reckoning that's coming, a day of judgment. Jesus referred to this day when all moral accounts will be settled. Everything that's done under the sun is going to come to the light. He taught that when the day comes, either people will pay for their evil by being separated from God forever, or they'll be rewarded for having accepted Jesus' payment on the cross for the evil they committed. It's either, and I like the way this is written, it's either the self-payment plan or the Christ payment plan. So you can do the self-payment, which is punishment, or you can do the Christ payment, and He paid for us, which is eternal life. There are no other options to this. Jesus urged His listeners to follow His plan, especially in the last days. And so the question today is, whose plan are you following today? Today is the day of the word. It was a day of teaching. It was a day of the Lord sharing all that He had for the people in the temple, and then His disciples in Mount of Olives. Is the woes, is the parable of talents, the parable of vine. I mean, so much to you from the moment He woke up and He is walking into the city, and to the moment He leaves. So walking in the city, on the way back to Bethany that night, He teaches the whole day. And so today, I want you to meditate on the day of the word. And I want to encourage you to open up your scriptures today and just spend the day just soaked in the word of God. Read through all the four gospels, particularly the last day, this particular day of the Lord, and let the Holy Spirit speak to you through that. You have one life, just one. Use our lives for something noble. Use our lives for something great. Let's not live such a cheap life and just live for ourselves. But let's live for the glory of God. Let's live for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because, I don't even want to say this, and I don't want to say, oh, because judgment is coming. No, because it's the joy of our life to respond to the love of the Father over our lives. Amen? I invite Andrew to come and lead us in a song of worship. And today, like I said, like yesterday, we're not going to pray over certain things a little different this week. It's really more about meditation and about responding to the Spirit. And so today, let's spend some time in the Word. Let's just bask in the Word of God and His presence over us. Let me pray over us and lead us into the day of His Word. Lord, we thank You, God. We thank You that, Lord, on one of Your last days, Lord, You took the time to teach. Lord, You took the time to speak truth, God. And sometimes it was very uncomfortable truths, Lord, especially for so many different people. But Lord, You loved us so much that You spoke truth into our lives. And Lord, I pray today, the day of Your Word, God, that we would soak in Your teaching. Lord, primarily, Lord, we have one life to live, God. Help us to live it beautifully. Help us to live it gloriously, God. Help us to live it for You, Lord, not for ourselves, Lord. God, and then, God, the other reality, Lord, there is a judgment coming. There's a day of reckoning that's coming, God. Lord, help us to reach out to our friends, Lord, that are not yet aware, God, that this day is coming upon them, Lord. And so help us, Father. Lord, we love You, God. Lord, we bless the church. We bless their spirit, God. Everyone that's here listening online, we bless their spirit to connect to Holy Spirit and lead their body and soul and to absorb themselves in the Word of God today. We thank You, Lord. We love You, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, I encourage you guys to just go deep in God's Word and just allow Him to speak to you through the text.